Each year, the Dutch Development Cooperation Association, PARTOS, organizes a call for innovation to showcase and promote innovative and inspiring initiatives in the development sector. This year, the Collaborative Innovations Awards celebrated innovative collaborations and international civil society partnerships that developed creative solutions to deal with the complex, volatile and uncertain scenarios in development cooperation. In total, 30 very diverse innovations were submitted. During the PARTOS Innovation Festival, a jury awarded 3 innovations for the best collaborative innovations of 2021. Hi, my name is Alexander Medic, and I would like to introduce you to the 3 winners. Welcome, Olivia and Alice, to this Innovation Trilogy podcast, where we talk with the 3 winners of the PARTOS Innovation Awards 2021. Before we come to dive into your great innovation, and congratulations, by the way, I would like to do a first introduction, who you are, the organization you're representing. Alice, could I start with you?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Alexander, for having us here. My name is Alice van Ark. I'm Managing Director of CNV International. And we work with 15 trade union partners in 15 countries in all over the world. We work in Asia, we work in West Africa, and we work in Latin America. And we are based here in Utrecht, and our office is, our team exists of about 17 people.
Okay, thank you very much. And it's a pleasure. Welcome to this episode. Olivia.
Hi, Alexander. Yes, thank you so much for having us. My name is Olivia Bolia. I'm project assistant at CNV International and work mostly on PML, and I'm also project lead for this project.
Thank you for being on board today and welcome to this episode. Thanks for the introductions, Alice and Olivia. Let's start basically with a question with regards to like an introduction of your innovation before we're going to dive into the really like depth of the nitty-gritty details of what it entails, your innovation. So the theme for this year Innovation Awards was the most inspiring collaborative innovation, right? Could you perhaps pitch your collaborative innovation? And I'm also curious, why can it be considered as the most inspiring collaborative innovation?
Yes, thank you. That's a good question. Our innovation is called Making Facts Work for Workers. What it means is that we think facts are really important for trade unions to have a voice, to have a say at a negotiation table. Without facts, it's really difficult for them to have a good negotiation. And what makes this an inspiring collaboration is that we have collaborated with an organization which is called Data for Development, which is also based here in the Netherlands, who helped us improving surveys, improving facts collection together with the trade union partners. The trade union partners, we think, should be able to do the fact collection themselves, to have very credible data. And together with us, together with Data for Development, and together with the most important actor here, the trade union, we set up this collaboration to ensure that they have better facts.
Okay, so it's really like an innovation related to data management, data gathering, and then basically using the data to inform better decision making, right?
Correct.
And improve the situation of the workers related to the trade unions. Okay, that's clear. Thank you for that introduction. So let's dive a little bit more into the depth of the problem, right? So what is actually the problem you're trying to solve with this innovation?
The problem we are trying to solve is that it's important to know what the labor conditions are of people that work in certain value chains like sugarcane, like textile. If you know what their labor conditions are, if you can prove that the labor conditions are weak, that there needs something to be improved, then you have a very credible, a very strong position at the negotiation table if you want to improve the situation. What we see that workers, And in particular, the workers whose rights are mostly challenged are living far away. For example, sugarcane workers, they work and live on plantations far away. So it's very difficult for the trade union to have a good overview and have a good insight in the labor conditions and to show that to the employer, to show that to the company that is involved. And the same counts for the garment industry. It's really difficult, again, for the trade union to show what the labor rights conditions of workers are. For example, if you want to know how many people are paid less than a minimum wage, it's really important to have that data, but it's often not there. Trade unions are often not able to gather that data, to have that credible data. And this is why it's so important. If you have that data, you can have a very strong, good conversation. We call that social dialogue. Can have a dialogue between employees and employers, between a trade union and an employer. And that makes that the trade union are put into a position that they are better able to negotiate improvements.
Yeah. And what makes me curious is, so the trade unions are not able to gather or have the data, right? At the current moment. So then why? Why are they not able to actively collect the data?
If we look at the sugarcane, it's because the plantations are often very remotely. They're often far away from the capital. And they're working lots and lots of people, thousands of people are working on the plantations. And it's very costly, very time consuming to conduct paper interviews and survey all those people. And the same is for the factory. In some factories, there are thousands of workers in one factory. And you often want to have data from multiple factories, from multiple companies, and gathering the data is very time consuming. And this is why we thought we should help the trade unions to have a tool that they can use to monitor and to conduct surveys, which workers can easily fill in. And we think that mobile surveys on the mobile phones has an enormous impact, because if you can conduct a survey and if you can just share a link on WhatsApp or by email, it's so much easier to have many more workers that are able to have their say in a survey.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, it's the cost, it's the time that has been a challenge for the trade unions. Tools to use to reach that scale, because it's also about scale, right? Reaching reaching those thousands, whatever amount of workers. Mm-hmm. And through your innovation solution, you're able to basically lower the costs, lower the time, and use an innovative tool in order to reach that scale and actually improve the data. So let's dive a little bit more. Now we have get a better understanding of the problem into the solution. You already introduced it. It's a survey mechanism that is using different kinds of communication channels to gather the data. How does it work in practice? Could you give an example?
Yeah, how it works in practice, we, together with the trade union, we have developed a survey. In the case of the garment industry, it was already an existing survey measuring the wages that workers are earning, and also the minimum wage, or the living wage that they need to make ends meet. It was already a paper survey. We made that paper survey in a digital survey that also was took quite some time to make it digital, because it's a little bit different. But once you have a digital, you can submit the survey, you can send the link around, you can send the link on WhatsApp, and people can fill it in from their own home, from their once they are outside the factory, once they're outside the garment factory, for example, and it's really easy for them to fill in the survey.
There is this problem that we just discussed with regards to the trade unions and not being able to gather the data and to inform better decision making, and perhaps also lobby towards the government and other stakeholders and improve the working conditions, labor conditions of the employees related to those unions. You have basically digitized a traditional survey, which now is being able to reach scale, right? Mm-hmm. What are your ambitions for the next few years? I can imagine that this is a tool that can be scaled, generalized as well, you know, to different unions. What are your ambitions? How will the future look like?
So our aim with this project is really to strengthen the data capacity of the trade unions in the long term, to really make ourselves pretty much unnecessary and actually obsolete. So this would mean that the trade unions have the data capacity to fully carry out the data collection and analysis process, and really have evidence-based lobby facilitated in the value chain. Additionally, one of the things we want to focus a bit more on as well is helping brands and companies to evaluate and improve the situation of their workers in the factories through this, you know, data that is acquired by our partners, the trade unions, to really integrate all of the parties involved and make the data work for workers.
Okay, those are great ambitions. And I've been working for many years on innovation and not only on incubating innovations, but in particular, the most important part, according to my opinion, is how to sustain and scale innovations, right? What are your strategies to sustain the innovation in within the trade unions? And if you're also aiming to scale it up, how are you going to support or work with together the with the trade unions to eventually let them actively use this innovation, eventually also without your support?
Indeed, that's what we aim for. We aim to scale it up. We already have scaled up our first survey that we conducted in the sugarcane industry. We started the first pilot with 300 surveys, 300 participants. And currently we have developed a new survey with the help also of data for development and with our local people. We already scaled up and now we have, I think, 800 or 900 surveys. So that's the first scale up that we want to do. Next year, we will also scale up to mining. And I believe it's helps us if we also go to other value chains like the mining industry, because then it makes it also more cost effectively, because then we can use the same tool, basically the same questions, adapted to a different value chain, and then it's also more cost effectively. And at the same time, we also have learned what we need to successfully implement this survey on the ground, because I think that's also very importantly. We're still continuously learning. We're learning what they need, what we need, what the trade union needs in terms of support, what the workers, for example, need in terms of support to fill in the survey. So we are constantly learning, and that is also very important. So we are taking this step by step. We started in sugarcane. Then we took the next step. We started a pilot in the garment industry. We're scaling up already in the sugarcane industry. Next year, we want to do the mining industry. And eventually, we also would like to start in the palm oil industry. But we are taking this step by step.
Oh, thanks. That's that's a very comprehensive answer that also sounds as music in my ears, because I think some of the concepts you mentioned, continuous learning, very important indeed. Doing it step by step, improving based on the data that you get, and already having good strategies in mind on how you would like to also scale to the different sectors. I think, thank you for providing that perspective on your approach to scale and sustainability of this particular innovation. What I'm also curious about CNV works with this innovation, but I can imagine that CNV is also working more extensively on incubating and scaling other innovations. I'm curious, Alice, from an organizational perspective, how are you trying to, you know, push for innovations within programs, but perhaps also internally to create that continuous cycle of change and learning?
Yeah, so what we are going, what we're actually already doing is every year we have learning sessions together with our whole team. We have regional sessions, we have sessions here in Utrecht, and innovation and learning and exchanging is very important, of course. During the COVID pandemic, during this year, it's a little bit more difficult because you have to do this learning, this innovation exchange. Everything needs to be online. Personally, I think that's not very inspiring. If you want to have a very inspiring session, you have to bring people together. So this is why I think I was really happy that this year in September we had a session together with the whole team, also exchanging information. And for me personally, innovation is really what I'm looking for also in our organization. I think it makes us more attractive. I think it inspires new young people. In generally speaking, trade unions have difficulty attracting young new people. And I think innovation can help, new innovative tools can also help unions to attract young people. And at the same time, I think innovation can, for example, also help to attract more companies and having more companies involved. Because if I look, for example, at the garment industry, I think it would be a very relevant question if a company, if a brand approaches us, like, can you help us to understand the situation in our factory? Can you help to understand the labor conditions of the workers that we can help them to answer these questions? And I think innovation can really help to bridge that knowledge gap that we are currently having.
Thanks, Alice. And Olivia, from your perspective, what is the importance of innovation within CNV and within your daily work?
Well, I think all of the things that Alice mentioned are really relevant here. I think it allows us also to continue kind of scaling up. It allows us to assess, our partners with things that they are dealing with on the daily. So exactly like Ella said, attracting younger people to join the trade unions, but also this digital survey really tackles a key aspect of their work, which is, you know, improving the living wage for all the workers. And if we can do so with a tool, an innovation tool that allows it to happen in a more cost-effective way, a more time-efficient way, then we're only, you know, expanding on their capabilities and their impact to really make everyone's lives better. So I think it makes a direct impact in that way, but it's also just super, super important to really kind of attain our goals, which is supporting the partners in the most efficient way possible.
Beautifully said. Thanks. So yeah, to conclude, what would your call to action be towards the listeners? Can be anything. If we talk about innovation or your particular example of innovation, how to improve the situations of the workers. What is your call to action?
I guess right now we are busy with looking for more funding as well as partners with actually experience in these innovation tools. Especially ones that would be interested in participating and strengthening the data capacity of our trade union partners in the various countries that we work in. I think that if this applies to you or an organization that you know, please get in touch with us so we can explore possibilities of collaboration.
Hear. Thank you very much. Okay, that was it. So I would like to thank you, Alice and Olivia, for this very insightful conversation, and congratulations again with the award. And all the best and good luck and joy as well with further scaling and sustaining the innovation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the podcast channel of Disrupt Development, the world's first post-growth innovation academy in global development. We work with leaders, nonprofits, social enterprises, corporates, international institutions, and governments to help them innovate, maximize impact, and achieve systems change.